Tonight I will get my text out of verse 11. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. I want to deal with the power of God. Look at the power of God. The power of God, if you define it, means that His has the ability, God's power has the ability and the strength by which He can bring to pass whatsoever He pleases. You know, you and I can't. We don't have that kind of power. We can't do what we please. We don't have the authority. We don't have the power. But God does. Whatever He wants to do, He has the ability and the strength to do whatever He pleases to do. And as holiness is the beauty of all of His attributes, you can put holy in front of every one of God's attributes. Holy right, He's holy. His wrath is holy. His love is holy. His righteousness. His anger. His longsuffering. You put holy in front of everything. But you can't put love in front of everything like everybody seems to think that you can. But God's holiness is His beauty. He dwells in the beauty of holiness. And that's His power. That's the glory of all of His attributes. He's holy. He, the holy and lofty one, inhabits eternity. And when Isaiah saw Him, he saw His glory. And the seraphims were crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God." So He is holy. You put that in front of everything. His Word is holy. God is holy. He tells us to be as holy as God is holy. But His power is that which gives life, gives action to all the perfections of His holy nature. Now let me see tell you what I mean. How vain would the will of God be without power to carry it out? If He didn't have the power to carry out His will, be vain, wouldn't it? Be useless. Without power, you know what His mercy would be? Just feeble pity. That's all it would be. Without power, His promises would be empty. Just empty words. Empty words. Because He wouldn't have no power to carry them out. But God's power is like Himself. Infinite. Eternal. Incomprehensible. The Scriptures tells us that no man can stay His hand to say unto Him, "What doest thou?" That He does according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and nobody can stop Him. Isaiah 14:27 says, "As He is purposed, so shall it come to pass." Now it says here in our text tonight, Psalm 62 and verse 11, God has spoken once. That's all it takes. What else is necessary? If God speaks just once, what else is necessary? You know, a fellow wrote a whole book on how to be born again. And our Lord Jesus just told Nicodemus, said, "Nicodemus, you must be born again." He just said it once. You have to be born again. And a man writes a book on telling us how to do it, and Christ just said you have to do it. And He didn't do it. He told Nicodemus how it was accomplished. And it wasn't John 3:16 is how His new birth was accomplished. His new birth was accomplished because as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That's how man gets the new birth. And the Spirit blows where it lifts us. We see the evidence of the wind blowing. That when the wind, the Holy Spirit blows on us, believe me, the effects of it's going to be left on you. And that's what He is talking about. So all God's got to do is speak once. That's all it takes. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but the Word of God will never pass away. And all, listen, when He says here, spoken once, it's telling us His authority. All power. All power. Twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. We heard it once in the Scriptures. Then we heard it second time in what God did for us in our hearts and in our souls. And I tell you, all other people and all other things in this world get all of their power from Him. There is no power that anybody has in this world except God give them that power. They say the President of the United States is the most powerful man in the world. Where did he get that power? God gave it to him. That's exactly right. And when God gets through with His power, He'll give Him some power to somebody else. That's the way it always been, always will be. And I tell you, God did not acquire His power like a president or a senator or a king. He didn't acquire His power. It don't depend upon Him being recognized by any other authority. You know, they asked our Lord, they said, where did you get this power? Where did you get this authority to do what you're doing? Where did you get it at to do all the things that you... Where did you get this authority? He said, I'll ask you a question. Where does John... Did his baptism come of heaven or was it of men? He said, well, if we say it was from the heaven, then he'll say, why didn't you believe John? If we say it's from the earth, people are getting mad at us because they know John's a prophet. So you see, that's the first thing they ask Christ. Where'd you get this authority? Oh, listen, He don't have to be recognized. God don't have to be recognized by any other authority. He has to recognize other authorities. He has to give them authority. Look over here in John chapter 19. Look here what happened in John 19. You know, our Lord Jesus, He don't have to say, you know, God has spoken once. That's enough. God has spoken once. Look here in verse 10 and 11. In verse 8 it says, when Pilate heard that He made Himself the Son of God, Pilate heard that saying, and he was more afraid. And he went again into the judgment hall and saith unto Jesus, whence are you? Where are you from? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then said Pilate unto him, speakest thou not unto me? You're not going to answer me. I've got the power. I'm the man that can save you. Listen to what he said. Knowest thou not that I have the power to crucify you and I have the power to release you? You know what our Lord said? Thou couldest have no power at all against me except it were given thee from where? Above. He told old Pilate, you ain't got no power. You ain't got none. You don't have any. You know where you got this power at? From God. From God. And let me tell you something. There's no danger of him being overthrown. People overthrow kings and overthrow governments all the time. But there's no danger of him being overthrown by any other power. There's no danger of him being voted out of office. There's no danger of a great delegation and a great commission getting together and marching against him and trying to tell him to give up his authority and his power and rein it in. You got too much. Oh, but power is his name. Power is his name. Our Lord Jesus says, you wait until you see the Son of Man coming in glory and in power and sitting at the right hand of the Majesty on high. God and power are inseparable. When you mention God, you automatically think of authority and power. When you mention power, infinite power, eternal power, you can only think of one being, and that's God Himself. Oh, let me show you. These are part of His ways. Now I want you to look with me in Job 26. You know, when we talk about God's power, God has spoken once, yea, twice have I heard it. So look in Job 26, in verse 14. You know, we talk about God. I talk about His attributes. I talk about His eternality. It's just His sovereignty. And here we talk about His power. His power. In Job 26 and verse 14, it says this: "Lo, these are parts of His way." It's just part of His ways. He's just part of His. Listen to this. "How little portions heard of Him." How little portion do you reckon we know about Him? How little a portion? He said, it's just parts of His ways. And if He, you know, we're actually seeing through a glass darkly. You imagine what it's going to be like whenever this, if I take my glasses off, all you all just a blur to me. Just blur, just blob sitting out there. Put them on, I can see you. But if you imagine what when God takes our eyes, these natural eyes, and make them perfect spiritual eyes, and we'll still just see portions of His ways. Huh? And look what He says here. "Why no portion is heard of Him, and the thunder of His power, who can understand it?" For that power, just He shakes the building when He sends thunder. And oh my, how little is heard of Him. I tell you, Habakkuk said it like this. He's hiding His power. What does that mean? That means He has to hold some of it back. He don't let it all go out at one time. If He did, what would happen? Huh? What would happen? Oh, we behold God's power in creation. Oh, what kind of power did it take to create this world? Let me say a little bit about creation. There's people now in religion and well-known people that's trying to teach that creation and evolution can go hand in hand. That they can say that the earth was so many billions of years old and all these things and dinosaurs was on it, and then God come along, He decided that He's going to do away with all that, and He took all that stuff that was there and He started anew. He recreated. And then, you know, so then they got evolution and they got creation. You can't have both. You can't have both. You got to have a place where man starts. Well, how in the world did man start? God made him. God created him. How did He make him? With His power. With just His word. And I tell you, He created this world with just His word. He created light with just His word. He created light and darkness with just His word. And just like in salvation, you know how He gives us life and creates Christ in us and gives us a new nature, makes us new creatures in Christ? By His word. Everything He's done by His word. God has spoken. And when He speaks, beloved, I'm telling you, when He speaks to somebody, believe me. They say, "I believe God's trying to tell me something." No, He ain't. If God's got something for you to understand, something for you to know, believe me, you're going to know it. It may take a lot to get my attention. Shirley tells all the time, "You don't listen to what, don't you remember you telling you this?" I say, "Sweetheart, I swear I don't. but God's not like that. Oh, no. It ain't creation. When God speaks to us, we don't listen. Yeah, and I tell you what, in judgment, everybody's going to listen. Me and Bruce Crabtree was talking about how long it would take for God to judge this world. He said, "It won't take long." I said, "No, I don't think it'll take no more than the blink of an eye for God. The judgment's already set. There's a multitude that God's already gave up. There's a multitude of false prophets that were ordained to this condemnation. There's the reprobate. And then there's the elect. There's those that God saves and God passes by. There's those He raises up by His power just to let people know how much power He's got, like Pharaoh. But I tell you, and I, you know, when we behold His power in the creation. We behold His power in the new creation. When He created us and made us new creatures in Christ, you know how much power it took for Him to save us? The Scriptures tells us over in, I'm pretty sure it's Ephesians 1, that the same power He worked in us is the same power that He raised Christ from the dead in. And so that's exactly what He tells us. He says, when Christ was raised from the dead by the power of God and by His own power, that resurrection power is what He manifests towards us and giving us life. Resurrection. He raises us from the dead and gives us new life. And I tell you, people say, well, He will if you let Him. Oh. And then God's government in this world, providence. We call it providence. But oh, God's providence just means Him carrying out His government in this world. Carrying out His will in this world. That's all providence means. You know what? I know what God's providence for me is by the time I go to bed. Whatever happened today. And you know what? I know what His providence is tomorrow for me. And for the world. And for our government. And for everybody else in it. We get to the end of tomorrow. We'll know what happened in our government. We'll know what happened with this one and that one. All these things are going to happen. You just look and you say, well, God's will was done. You know, God's providence worked out just right today. And then, oh, how much power to redeem us. To bring us off a slave market of sin. To save us from our selfishness and our self-righteousness. And I'll tell you something, only just a tiny, tiny bit of His power is all He has to manifest to do something for us. Job 9, take Job. Job said this. He said, He walks upon the sea. And he also said in one place, He walks on the circuit of the earth. You hear these people talking about flat earth? He said He walks on the circuit of the earth. You can't walk on a circuit if you're walking on something flat. And I tell you, he walks upon the wings of the wind. All is under His feet, all beneath His control. And all, let's go over here to Psalm 33. I've quoted this so many times, but look at it. Look at it. I tell you what, I might have looked this other day, or one of them. I was looking somewhere and I said, you all need to mark this down in your Bibles. Of course, if you like, I have not marked in this Bible. This is the only Bible I've ever had in my life. And I've went through several of them, but I've not made a mark in this one. Not a mark. But look what he said here in Psalm 33 in verse 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. He spake, He has spoken once, and all power belongs unto Him. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them, listen to this, by the breath of His mouth. He got so much power in His breath that He can create the heavens. And listen, He gathers the wheat, the waters up in the sea together as just a heap. He just piled it up. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Can you imagine the power that's manifested in that? Huh? Oh, my. Oh, he just said, it is. You know, if you and I make anything, we have to get tools. We have to buy materials in order to work. Not God. Not God. You know what He took people like us. The Scripture says He took nobodies and nothings. That's what He says. Not the wisdom of the world, not the might of the world. The base things, the lowest things. The things way down yonder. He took the lowest possible things the worst creatures on this earth, and he said, I'm going to put my power on them. I'm going to manifest my power to them. And out of nothing, that's what we are. He said, without me, you can do nothing. And that's exactly what he means. We couldn't do nothing before. We can't do nothing after. And we'll never, ever be able to do nothing without him. Ain't that what he says? And I tell you what, when he saved us, as old Scott said, he says, you know what nothing is a donut hole. Well, that's what God did for us. He saved a bunch of nothings. And you know how we know we're nothings? God's power taught us we're nothings. You know what nothings are? If I had a pencil, Sharpie, I'd show you something. But I ain't got a Sharpie. But I'll give you an illustration if I can. That's 3 zeros. How much are they worth? I'm going to do 3 more zeros. I'm going to put a comma between them 2 zeros. That 3 and this 3 over here. And then I'm going to do 3 more zeros, put a comma. You know what you got? Is it worth anything? Zeros ain't worth nothing. But you put a 1 in front of it. Just a 1. And you got something, man. Something gets your attention. Well, that's the way we are. Zeros. Zeros and zeros and zeros until Christ saves us by His grace. And He makes everything right. He makes us worth something just because of Him. Huh? He views us as something. Oh my, bless His holy name. And I tell you, God spake and it was done. He commanded and stood fast. And let me tell you something else. You know, I'll try not to take too long. But not only we see His power in creation, He just says, He just spake and it was done. He commanded and stood fast. And how about His power in preservation? In preservation. You know, I believe in perseverance, but I tell you what, if we wasn't preserved, we wouldn't persevere. Who in the world can preserve themselves? Can you preserve yourself? Can you preserve yourself in righteousness? Can you preserve yourself in life? Can you preserve yourself in justification? Can you preserve yourself? Anything in this creation, can it preserve itself? Can a tree preserve itself? Can an animal preserve itself? If anything that's preserved on this earth, God's the one that does the preserving. Nothing can preserve itself. Trees die, animals die, people die. And if God didn't preserve us and keep us, there's no telling where we would end up. And I tell you, not only that, but God takes man and He feeds man. And He feeds all the animals that's in this world. How in the world, when it gets miserable cold in this world and you got deer all over the place and all these things all over, how in the world they eat when it's snowing cold? God said He feeds them. And I tell you what, all He's got to do is take the water off the earth, and how long would we last? Oh my. And I tell you, it's told things, all things by the word of His power. You take an infant in a womb. You take just a baby, an infant in a womb. How in the world does that infant live? How does it live? Can't see, can't hear, can't breathe, yet it lives. How can that be? Because God said He holds the soul in His, the soul of a life in His hands. Oh my. Huh? And then not only does He preserve us, but He preserves the earth. And He preserves and the sea. I want to show you something. And I know this from experience. I've been at the sea several times. Job 38. I've been at the ocean lots of times. On both coasts. And South China Sea. And all kinds of places. But Job 38. Look down verse 8. Who shut up the sea without doors when it broke forth as if it had issued out of the worm, out of the womb? Now, listen. You know, you go someplace, the first thing you do is you find out what the tide chart is. Low tide and high tide. And when it's low tide, you go out and stay out just long till the high tide starts coming back in. You know why it goes out and don't go no further? It can only go so far. God said, that's where I want you to go. People talk about the sea's going to end up covering over this place and going to cover up that place and this other place here is going to go down. Listen, God said, see, you can go this far and you can't go no further. Huh? Look what else He says now. When I made the cloud, the garment thereof, and thick darkness as a swaddling band for it. Oh, here's this thick garment, this cloud way up there. He wrapped it up in darkness. And break it up for my decreed place and set bars and doors and said, oh, when the rain's fixing to come. And said, hitherto shalt thou come, but no further. And here shall thy proud waves be stayed. Oh my. Here, see, you can go this far and you can't go no further. My, my. And you see that all the time. He preserves the seasons. You know, we've taken out of the earth. You know how much food's been taken out of this earth since Adam? You know how much food's been taken out of the sea since of Adam? You know how many animals have been taken off the face of the earth since Adam? And they still taking food out of the earth, taking food out of the sea, taking food out of the animal, taking food out of the gardens, and you don't see no how many meals we missed. So He preserves the whole earth. People keep saying, well, they run out, well, they run out. Well, they've been doing it since Adam. We ain't run out yet. Ain't that right? We're talking about God's power. How in the world does that happen without God? God's power keeping those things, preserving those things. And I'm going to tell you His power in government. I already told you that the government or no other power in this world has any power except God gives it to them. There's not a government nowhere. There's not a person in position. There's not a person in power that God didn't give them that power. He said all powers that be are ordained of God. He restrains the devil from his malice. If the devil had the will and the power to carry out what that like God did, what in the world would possibly happen to us? I heard Bruce Date Crabtree tell this story the other day. John MacArthur, preacher from out in California, well-known preacher. There was a bunch of Pentecostals there in his service one night, and after the service over, said some one of his men come up to him and said, some Pentecostals back there want to talk to you. So they come and they talk to him. They told him this story. Said we went to this Pentecostal church and the preacher, the pastor got up and there was this young man there and he was bragging about this young man. God's going to really use this young man and this man's got so many gifts and God's going to really use him. You need to pay attention to this man. And then all of a sudden he dropped dead of a heart attack. On the spot, dropped dead. And everybody just goes, shocked. This is a true story now. I'm not making it up. MacArthur told it on himself. And that preacher says, that pastor says, well, the devil knowed that God was going to use that young man, so the devil killed him. And those folks heard that and they went and told MacArthur, said, can we come here? Can we attend these services? He said, why, of course you can. We want to go someplace where the devil doesn't have all the power and not made the sovereign one. We got so sick of hearing about the devil and his sovereignty. I want to go someplace else. The devil is on a chain. He's on God's chain. Revelation tells he's on God's chain. We've seen that he cannot do anything unless God says, go ahead. And you can go this far and you can't go no further. You can't do it. And God, bless his holy name, if God didn't restrain man, and some he does not restrain at all, he lets them go as far as they want to go. If they want to be a serial killer, God will let them be a serial killer. If they want to be a rapist, God will let them be that. He'll let men go into the depths of the sin that you cannot imagine. And he does that, that the rest of us might fear and trust him. And what we say, God, please don't never, ever let me be left to myself. Huh? Oh, when we hear that awfulness of human nature, it strikes fear to our hearts. Huh? And I tell you what, I'll hurry up here. He has power in judgment. Oh my, you're talking about power in judgment. He had so much power that he said, Noah, prepare your ark because it's going to start raining. And he had the power for it to rain 40 days and 40 nights. And the scripture says there was rivers and fountains that never had been before. The fountains of the deep, they broke up and start coming up out of the ground. Rivers that never been just come up out of the ground. Oh, and the flood come. Oh my. God's got the power to cause a flood like that. And all these fossils that they're finding, and they say that's 1 billion years old, this and that, they can't be older than the flood. And they always find them at the bottom of something, they find them in rocks. They don't find them on mountaintops, they find them down in the low places. And oh my, I tell you what, if he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, sending fire and brimstone. Pharaoh's army said, "Well, we're going to get Israel. We're not going to let them go." And God said, he raised up Pharaoh for one reason. He said, "I raised up Pharaoh to show my power in him." And I tell you, he's got power to create a new heaven and a new earth. God has spoken once. That's what I read tonight. God has spoken once. Yea, twice. Yeah, he just speaks once. That's enough. And that's all it takes when you've got all the power. You know, do you ever see parents say, "Listen, I'm not going to tell you again. I'm not going to tell you again. I'm going to count to three." Well, God just got to speak once. That's all it takes. You don't have to say nothing twice. And all God has spoken once. That's all it takes when you've got all the power. In our Lord's incarnation, God spoke in grace and truth. And when our Lord came to this earth, he spoke once to lepers and said, "I will, be thou clean." He spoke once to a dead man in a grave 4 days. Just once, and the dead came forth. He spoke once to a sea that was raging and said, "Be still." Stop just that quick. There was a legion of demons in one man. He just spoke for them to go, and they went into a herd of swine. He spoke once to a man up a tree. Told him, "Come down." And he came down. So let's walk softly. Let's walk softly. Tremble before the Lord. And it's absolute insanity to defy him. To defy or deny him. Oh my. God's got that kind of power. I want that power to be on my side. I want that power to be used good for me. I don't want to be used against me. I want it to be used in grace towards me in mercy towards me, in love towards me, in kindness towards me, in long-suffering towards me, in patience towards me. Lord, manifest your power, but do it in grace and kindness and pity and mercy. Let your power not destroy us. Please keep us and save us by your power. Amen. Oh, our blessed God, you spoke once, that's enough, but then you turn around and you spoke twice. You told us that all power belongs unto you. Lord, we've experienced that power in a wonderful way, gracious way, power to raise us from the death of our sin, save us from the power of sin, save us from the awful penalty of sin. And one of these blessed days we'll be saved absolutely and completely and entirely from the presence of sin, all because of your power. Lord, thank you for being our God, being our Father, being our Savior, being our Redeemer, be our Keeper and our Preserver. We bless you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. There is a name I love to hear, love to sing it so. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. See you Sunday, God willing.